There's a song that we're going to sing during the service this morning, and we're going to rehearse it. We have done this one before. To the river I am going, it goes like this. Verse 1, verse 2, then the chorus. Verse 1, verse 2, then the chorus. Verse 3, and then the chorus. If you know it, do sing along. Peter's going to play it for us. Thank you, Peter. A gap between verse 1 and verse 2, a longer organ introduction. And I think most of us know this now, don't we? We've all sung it before. That's great, yes.
We didn't actually do the shorter version, we just did.
We just did the shorter version, but when we come to it, we'll be doing the longer version. So let's pause for a moment. Very warm welcome to you, especially if you're online and here as well. Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today we're starting a brand new series called Heavenly Encounters. We're exploring what happens when the Lord comes to people in a visible sort of way and what that says about the God we believe in and worship. Would you please stand? Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Our first hymn is Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. And in the second verse, it kind of spells out the theme for today. Alleluia, He is near us. Faith believes, nor questions how. Let's worship the Lord together. Please be seated. Some words from the opening of the letter to the Hebrews, all about how God makes himself known to us. Please join in the words in the white. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy. Let us therefore confess our sins, trusting in his redeeming love. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish, without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to have a time, a moment of silence in which we can bring ourselves before the Lord. He is near. We'll remain seated to sing this prayer, "To the river I am going."
Thank you.
Lord, we are not worthy to receive you. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have opened the door of our hearts. And we see you. You are waiting nearby. Give us the faith to see you there. And give us the grace to worship you in spirit and in truth. So we stand to meet the majestic ruler of the universe. Going to sing Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be glory. Let's stand. Please be seated as we come now to our reading, and Jean is going to bring us God's word.
The reading is from Genesis 18, beginning at verse 1. Genesis 18, beginning verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance to his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favour in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf, and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set them before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please will you take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and fill them full of love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you ever have a role model in your life? Perhaps in your younger days, somebody you looked up to and you wanted to be like them. They inspired you. If you are a tennis fan, you will have heard some of the Wimbledon players, the younger players, saying who their role models had been. People like Serena Williams or Rafa Nadal. And they said they wanted to emulate them. Or maybe you were taken with people who had a passion for a cause, or compassion for the poor, people like Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King. I guess many of us may well have had a role model, perhaps a teacher at school or a family member maybe, who helped to shape our destiny. Well, the New Testament holds up a number of such people who are role models for us who are living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today. He, of course, is the author and perfecter of our faith, as it says in Hebrews 12. But in Hebrews 11, we get this great gallery of legends of the faith, if you like. And they are men and they are women who are meant to inspire us living as Christians. And chief among them is Abraham. His encounters with the Lord and the relationship that built up between them is meant to provide a role model for you and for me today. When I was a teacher, when I was at teacher training college, in fact, well, we all wanted to be good teachers. But I must admit I struggled with the theory of education. I later on came to value it, but at the time I couldn't see how it was going to make me a better classroom teacher. But then I went on a teaching practice for 8 weeks to a little school in the middle of Pimlico in a housing estate. And I shadowed a woman who'd been teaching for some time, and she had an amazing rapport with those children. They were captivated by her teaching style. And so they loved learning, and I learned a great deal from her. So when eventually I qualified and had a class of my own, I tried to picture how she had dealt with the children. Not very successfully at first, I must confess. But she was such an inspiration to me. Scripture holds up Abraham as a role model for us who believe. In fact, St. Paul says he's the father of all who believe. And there he was, sitting at the entrance of his tent one day, probably nodding off in the heat of the day, when suddenly he becomes aware of three men coming and standing nearby. Now, some people say that this was an appearance of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit appearing as three men. Other people say, no, only one of them was God, was the Lord. The other two were angels. It actually isn't very clear in Genesis 18 and 19 if you read them. But one thing is absolutely clear, that the Lord had come and Abraham realized it was the Lord and he'd come to engage with Abraham. But I want you to notice this. The Lord did not announce himself. He just stood nearby. That's what it says. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. They just stood there and they waited until Abraham perhaps woke up and got them to come and sit and eat. And then he waited again. Because Abraham had no microwave meals that he could go and prepare. Look at what he had to do. He had to slaughter an animal, cook it. Bread was... How long do you think that took? Must have taken 2 or 3 hours. And all the time, the Lord is just sitting there waiting for Abraham. And then, after he's eaten, he speaks. Now, I think this is very significant, you see. The Lord never forces himself on us. He just waits for us to invite him into our affairs. And I think Jesus was making the self-same point when he said in that famous verse, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I'll come in and sit and eat with you. And he doesn't batter the door down. He just waits for us to invite him. I wonder, you know, how often we may have failed to notice the Lord is actually standing nearby waiting for us to notice him. Then Abraham, of course, did not hesitate when he realized who it was. He jumped up and invited him in. Now, that's a bit strange, don't you think? Why does the creator of the universe need to sit down and eat a meal? That's odd, isn't it? And why would he hang around waiting for Abraham to prepare it? Why didn't he just come straight out with it and said, look, this is what I've got to say to you? It's very strange. But you see, he wanted to enter into fellowship and friendship with Abraham. And in those days, eating a meal that someone had prepared for you was a sign of friendship. He wanted to cement his friendship with Abraham. And that is exactly what the Lord wants to do with you and with me. It may seem unbelievable to us that the creator of the universe wants our company, but at the heart of his dealings with Abraham and at the heart of his dealings with you and with me is his desire for a friendship with us. That's why he came in the first place. That's why he made us in the first place. for friendship with him. You may know the old legend about a Chinese emperor who lived in the Ming dynasty in splendid isolation in the Forbidden City, but he had no friends. Oh, he had plenty of servants who would kowtow to him, but he longed for a real friendship. So one day, the story goes, he disguised himself as a common peasant, and he went out from the Forbidden City and walked for miles and came to a lake where there were fishermen. And he sat down, and there was another elderly fisherman standing and sitting nearby. And they got chatting, and they liked each other. So the emperor went back, and he repeated this visit on several occasions. And over time, these two guys built up a very firm friendship. Well, of course, the fisherman didn't know that it was the emperor, although he suspected there was something different about him. And then one day, the emperor invited the fisherman back to the palace for tea. The Lord longs for friendship with you and me, and he's willing to wait. It reminds me of a guy in one of my congregations. He became a Christian when he was 92 years old. And when he got up to give his testimony, he said this: "I'm ashamed to say I've kept God waiting 92 years, but now I've opened the door." The rest of the Bible sees Abraham as God's friend. James, in his letter, says Abraham was called God's friend. One of the Israelite kings in Chronicles, when he's praying to the Lord, he says, "Oh, Abraham is your friend." And then these beautiful words from the Lord's lips himself: "You descendants of Abraham," he's talking to the Israelites, "you're the descendants of my friend." That's what he wants to say of you and me. Alan Stibbs was a well-known Bible teacher. He wrote a wonderful little booklet on Abraham called God's Friend. He said this: "Friendship with God is the divinely intended goal of our creation and of our redemption." Jesus said the same to his disciples, you know. "I'm not going to call you servants anymore. Servants don't know what the master's doing. I'm going to call you friends. I'm going to share with you everything I've learned from the Father." Because friends do that, don't they? They take one another into their confidence. They share things with one another they don't share with other people. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here. Because that's exactly what he said to Abraham, or he said of Abraham. Do you remember in the story they were walking towards Sodom? And Abraham's walking along with the Lord. And the Lord says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" "No, I won't hide it from him. He's my friend." And he tells him. And then if you read on, the most remarkable thing happens. The Lord, the creator of the universe, gives Abraham a say in what he's about to do. So not only has he disclosed it, he's allowed Abraham to tell him what to do. That's just amazing, that is. Friendship with God involves him taking us into his confidence. Did you ever see this film, Darkest Hour? Anybody seen it? It's a great film. And of course it explores that really difficult choice that Churchill had between making peace with Hitler, which is what a lot of people in the government wanted him to do, and continuing a war because he didn't trust that Hitler would honour the peace. And the film shows this lovely relationship that builds up, it was difficult at first, with Elizabeth Leighton, his secretary. He and Clemmie, his wife, took Elizabeth into their confidence. She knew nothing about politics or military matters. She was just an ordinary secretary. But quite often, he would run things by her. And she would give him some advice. They became very firm friends. And that's what the Lord wants to do with you and with me. How should we respond to that? Well, look at Abraham. Remember what God had promised him? You and Sarah will have a son. Well, that was 25 years ago. And now the Lord has come to strengthen that promise with Abraham. Of course, Abraham struggled a little bit with that promise. When you're 99, you begin to wonder whether that's going to be possible. When your wife can't have any children, he must have thought to himself, "You must be joking, Lord." But not once did he doubt the Lord's ability to do it and that he would somehow do it. He just didn't know how. And of course, he got things wrong as well, did Abraham? He made some ghastly mistakes that had consequences. But not once did he waver in his belief. And that's what St. Paul says in Romans. It's a long quote. I apologize for that. But this is a really important passage. Without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He's about 100 years old. Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Will our faith hold, even if we have to wait a long time for God to answer our prayers and do what he's promised? You see, the Lord has promised us that he will put all things right. He's promised us that he will make all things new. He's promised us that he will work all things together for the good of those who love him. And sometimes we look around the world and we say, "Are you? Really?" Sometimes we look at our own lives and we say to ourselves, "That's difficult to believe." Sometimes we look in our own hearts and we think, "Oh no." Can we go on and on believing that he'll keep his promise? Will our faith hold even though we have to wait a very long time? Can we go on believing against all odds? Let me finish with this. Friendship with God, faith in God. That's what the Lord came to Abraham for. And the Lord sat and ate as a sign of friendship. And today, he comes here with bread and wine as a sign of friendship to you and me. This is a heavenly encounter here. We simply draw near with faith. He stands nearby and waits for us. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, give us the eyes to see Jesus standing nearby. And help us to go on hearing and opening the door of our hearts day by day, so that we might become your friends. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer as Joanne comes now to lead our intercession.
Let us pray. I will pause after each prayer so that you can silently add your own prayers or concerns to that situation or a similar situation. So firstly, Lord Jesus, we pray for our NHS, doctors, nurses, administrative staff, clinical personnel, laboratory technicians and paramedics. We ask Jesus that you give them strength to do their job in these very challenging times. We pray for our farmers. So many are finding it hard to make a living. The cost of farming is increasing, but the money they make is decreasing. Crops are at risk due to lack of rain, and with high temperatures, the risk of grass or wildfires is increasing. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you to keep them safe as they work to produce the food we need. We pray for the charity Together for Short Lives, who support families with children who have a life-threatening diagnosis, and for the hospices that they work with. Today we pray for the family of Bella and for the Little Havens Children Hospice near Southend-on-Sea, where Bella spent her final days surrounded by the love of family and staff. We pray for the family of Charlie, who died at 17 months in Clare Hospice on the Wirral. Charlie's dad said, "I said from the word go that I would never leave my son and let him suffer, and Clare House and its staff helped us to make sure that the end of Charlie's life was peaceful and pleasant." Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with these families as they recover from the loss of their child. This week, Tear Fund has reminded us that across the UK and the world, the cost of living crisis means many families will struggle to feed their children. So we pray, Jesus, for the provision of food, water, electricity, cooking oil, and hygiene products for families around the world, and ask Jesus that you will take away the stress and anxiety that the rising cost of living brings. Just as I was leaving the house this morning, an email prayer request came through from our Christian friend in America. She writes, "Prayers are needed for a family, friends, and surviving 9-year-old son of a Cedar Falls father, mother, and 6-year-old daughter who were murdered while camping. They were apparently shot by a 23-year-old man from Nebraska who then committed suicide. The boy Arlo has family who are now caring for him. Jesus, we ask that you hold Arlo in your arms and comfort the family members, and that in due course you will put the right counsellors and medical people in his life to support him through what he has been through." And now, Jesus, we lift to you those we know who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. We ask that your Holy Spirit and your love surround them at this time. We close our prayers by saying together the words on the screen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand for the peace? The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And they were glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Do share the peace in any way you feel comfortable doing. Peace to you, Peter. Do sit down. Just before we sing our communion hymn, I have two notices to give out. First, to remind you that we have our prayer corner at the back there. And if when you've received communion, you would like to go and just pray or share something with the prayer team, do use that opportunity. It's a very, very valuable resource. I've benefited from it myself. And those who are going to be in the prayer corner will come up to communion first and then go and sit there so you can go there afterwards. And the second notice is to say we are in desperate need of people to make coffee. Coffee is a very important spiritual gift. So we need our coffee time afterwards. And on August the 7th, we have no one to make coffee. But there are other gaps on the coffee rota too. And if you think you can help out with that, we'll show you how to do it. If you don't know, well, everybody knows how to make a cup of tea. There's a rota at the back. And patients may well grab you if you are lingering near the rota or not. So please offer your help for our coffee rota. The Lord makes himself known to us chiefly in the servant King, our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand to sing. Please sit or kneel for the communion prayer. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord, with your whole church throughout the world. We offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Together we pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our final hymn in a moment, but these lovely flowers here that you see at the front and of course at the back are a reminder to us of that wonderful Thanksgiving service that we had on Thursday for Trish, and we go on praying for the family. So let's stand and praise the one who came in meekness and in majesty, in manhood and in deity, the man who is God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, please accept these gifts as a token of our love for you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Do sit for the blessing. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may he draw you into a real friendship with him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.